What can I say?
I know. So there's really only one short chat at the beginning for a group, just so you know. Not chat, but breakout group. And then I think is there two chat? I think there's two different times where there's a chat.
There's only one time for chat and one for a group.
Okay. But it's a catechesis at the beginning, a break, and then the video. So it's pretty simple tonight. Kind of set the foundation for being able to actually participate in praying the Mass.
Good stuff. She's looking at deals.
Did you find anything?
No. I'm trying to find a laptop for Diana. She needs a new laptop. But
I don't know what I want.
Yeah, the problem is that's the problem.
Buy a Chromebook. They're inexpensive. They're utilitarian and very general.
The Chromebooks?
Mm-hmm. And they're budget-friendly, what I hear.
Yeah. Well, he found a couple on Amazon. There's one that I kind of liked. And since the screen is a little smaller.
Well, see, he wants a bigger screen.
Well, how big is the screen?
Are you kidding me? That's the first thing I told you today.
This is 14 inches?
Yes.
So the alternative to that is that you find one where the screen works for you. But if you're going to sit down and do work, just plug it into a bigger monitor. And, like, Amazon has them today for $99. Dell has them for $99 today. Like a 21, 22-inch monitor. And you just flip it in the plug, and then you're good to go when you have one.
Yeah,
because I have 2 to 3 screens going at any given point in time. There's no way I could work off of a laptop and actually be truly productive and detailed.
Yeah, that's good to know.
We should be getting right at 10 to get people used to the drill.
And it's an easy HDMI. There's not an extra expense. You don't need a KVM switch or anything complicated. So, and if you want to get really fancy, you can actually cast it to, you know, your 5-foot screen TV over there.
No, I don't need that. That'd be
I even texted Derek 15 minutes ago. I'm a warning.
Well, what are you going to do?
73 days till Christmas. Pick out Christmas cards.
Woo!
You still do those, huh?
Yeah.
We make our family card.
I don't know what we're going to do.
You didn't like my idea.
I don't do a lot. Well, last year I did a ton of them. Normally I don't do that many. But last year it was a... Hey, Cam.
You're muted.
Okay, I'm still getting used to this newfangled technology.
Heads up, there's one short group breakout, and it's fairly shortly after you do your saint.
Okay.
When you're talking about the saint, I'm going to show the picture of Saint Martha for a little bit, and then I'm going to click out of the shared screen and let you just continue. Don't feel like when you see the shared screen go away, like that's the end of your time. I'm going to be putting people in the breakout groups while you're doing your presentation, okay?
Okay, perfect. I love this little project. This was the first saint we've ever done that didn't die a horrible death.
That's not true.
Well, that we've ever talked about in the saints.
Yeah,
I really liked your story, and I told Deacon Don today that I was like, wow, Martha was just such a whiner the first time I heard it. And now I realize the point of it. It was lovely. So.
My saint didn't die a horrible death. He just faded off into the sunset.
Yeah, but I don't remember that part. And with the research that I did, it's almost like people enjoy writing about the horribleness of some of the way these people passed. So
yeah,
so anyway, I enjoyed this week, and I hope they keep them coming.
Where's the team today? We got 13 people in the waiting room, and none of them's a team.
We got all the team we need right here.
I know the Jaegers and the Ermans aren't going to be with us today. The Ermans are traveling, and I don't know what the Jaegers. I just got a text that they won't be coming.
Okay.
Yep. All right, we're going to admit everybody.
Okay.
Welcome, everybody.
All right, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
We had a good Tuesday, nice warm Tuesday. We're going to start with a prayer, like we always do. So I'm going to start by reading from the Gospel of Matthew. So we'll start there. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
During the meal, Jesus took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples. Take this and eat it, he said. This is my body. Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them. All of you must drink, he said, for this is my blood, the blood of the covenant, to be poured out in behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's reign. After singing songs of praise, they walked out to the Mount of Olives. This is a scripture passage about how the Mass begun, how the Eucharist became. Let us tonight, as we look at why and what we do at Mass, hold in our hearts that Jesus is the Word in the Eucharist of our Mass. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, so before we get started talking about the Mass, we've got our Saint Lady Kim, who is going to share with us another saint.
Are you ready?
Are we ready? We are ready.
Okay. Hi, guys. Good evening. This is a saint by request from Martha, and she wanted to know more about Saint Martha, so we're going to talk about her. She is a different kind of saint because she didn't suffer a horrible martyred death. She sort of just lived out her days. And she shows up several times in the gospel as Jesus was a guest in her home more than once. And in Luke's gospel, Martha welcomes Jesus and his disciples to her home and immediately goes to work to serve them. Martha had a sister named Mary who, instead of helping Martha with all the preparation, Mary chose to sit with Jesus and just listen to him. And Martha, instead of saying, you know, Mary, get up off your butt and help me, she went to Jesus and said, can you make her help me? And Jesus told her that that Martha is concerned about many things, but that it takes her focus away from what's really important, and that is just to be present with him, Jesus. And the next visit, Jesus comes after the death of Martha's brother, Lazarus, and Martha immediately leaves her home full of mourners and grievers at Lazarus's funeral, and she goes to meet him. And Martha tells Jesus that she is fully devoted to him. She believes that he is the true life, true God, the power and the hope and the resurrection, and Jesus, or the true Son of God. So Jesus confirmed her beliefs and then raises Lazarus from the dead. Now, that is all of Martha's story. And she isn't ostentatious. There's no miracles contributed to her or for her. All she did was simply serve Jesus. So she is the patroness of all things and professions that require service, from maids to manservants to cooks to, you know, anything that requires a service. And her feast day is July 29th. Are there any questions?
Okay.
Okay. Then I will turn it back over to Deacon Don and Diana. And please, bring those saint requests coming, because this is fun. Let's talk about it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Cam.
You're welcome.
We'll talk more about the saints in future, a few nights from now. But we just wanted to get you guys to kind of see what the different saints are out there. And the one great thing about the saints is that they have walked this earth, and many of them were not the best of saints at the beginning of their lives, but they were able to turn them around. So they're great examples for us. And so, you know, it's a good thing to just start looking at the different saints, and maybe one or two you'll connect with, and you'll be able to pray to them or pray for them to help you, or situation to pray to intercede for you to Jesus. So that's why we introduce these saints throughout the year. So we're going to go back to tonight's topic, which is basically the Mass. Last week, we were able to take a tour of the church, and you guys got to see the physical things about the Mass. And then tonight, we're going to start talking a little bit more about the Mass itself. And then next week, we're actually going to go into a Mass of Understanding so that you can see all the different parts of the Mass and why we do certain things. So I've mentioned this slide before in the past when we talked about prayer. And I love it. We are never closer to heaven than when we are at Mass. And that is so, so true. If you think about it, we as Catholics believe that the bread and the wine get turned into the body and the blood of Jesus while Jesus is in heaven. So if Jesus is going to be at our Mass as a body and blood, that means heaven is here on earth with us during the Mass. So it's wonderful, to me, it's a wonderful comforting notion that when you're at Mass, you actually feel very close to heaven. So the first thing we're going to do is get into some groups, and we're going to have a discussion. The question I want to propose to all of you is, what do you know about the Mass so far? And as a group, I want you to come up with two of the things that you found were the important things. And they don't have to be just what you know about the Mass, but if you have a very large question or something that you really want to make sure we talk about tonight, you can propose that as well. And then after you come back, we're going to have the group leaders, one by one, talk about the two things that you found were the most important things about the Mass, or a question about the Mass that you want to make sure you get answered. So,
okay. So a reminder to the group leaders then, this is a bit of an open conversation. Let people talk about what they know about the Mass. See what our major questions they came tonight with. And then at the two-minute warning, as a group, you need to decide what are the two most important things that your group discussed. Just a consensus of what your group thinks are the two most important things that you discussed, all right?
And it's going to be about 8 minutes to discuss this, not too long.
Okay. And we've had a few more people zoom in here since we began, so we're going to go ahead and go to groups. Let's see if I can get them included before we begin. Okay. All right, everybody, enjoy. Those of you who are just getting your assignments now, those of you that came in just a little bit late, so go ahead and accept, and you'll go right to your groups. Brian, you good to go? Okay. All right, which group do you want to go into? Let's see. Minnesians. Patty and Ken's. Eric's. Let's go to Eric's. See how he does.
It's the first time he's kind of on his own.
Two else, and take this. All right. So hopefully all your discussions were very, very good. So we're going to talk to the leaders, and they're going to tell us what the two things that you guys came up with.
So group one, was that Nemesio?
Right. So our group, we talk about many aspects of the map. Is the word and later the Eucharistic liturgy.
Okay.
Good. Okay, group two.
Okay.
With Kim. Unmute yourself, Kim.
We talked about that the Mass is the greatest prayer and that the community gathering is very, very powerful. Mm-hmm.
That's wonderful. So true. Okay, next group was with Eric. Eric?
We mainly focused on the Gospel and the Eucharist, but there was a lot of other things that people contributed as well, but those were the main two.
Excellent. Group four is Rochelle.
We discussed having the spiritual, social connection every Sunday, preferably in person, and also getting to receive the Eucharist.
Very good. Very good. And the last group is Ms. Derek. Derek.
Oh, I'll say it for Derek since I was taking the notes.
Okay.
Our group came on up with receiving the body and blood of Christ, which was the Eucharist, which was a high point, and also the delivery of the Word of God in Scripture and the Gospel.
Very good. You guys have all hit the high points of the Mass, especially with the liturgy, both the Word and the Eucharist, but then also the community and the spiritual part of it as well. I'm going to go back to my slides here. So now this is the biggest question of all, and this doesn't reflect just teenagers. I think there's a lot of adults that say these words a lot too on the weekend, on Sundays. Do I have to go to church? Why do I have to go to church? Well, and most of us, or some of us who were born Catholic, we just went to church on Sunday because that's what our mothers and fathers told us. You had to go to church. It was never explained to us why church was so important. We just had to go. And for me, I really didn't understand too much of the church. It was just go to church, listen to some words, receive communion, you go home, and you go on with your life. It wasn't until I started getting more and more involved in church and doing different ministries that I started learning more and more about the Mass and realizing that there was a lot of reasons why we should go to church. One of the main reasons is that we are community. We are a community of faith believers. And we need each other. We need each other to help each other. We need to pray for each other. In Mass, there's a part of the Mass that we actually say, brothers and sisters, pray for me to my God or to our God. We're praying for each other right then and there at the beginning of Mass. The other part of a Mass that we reach out to each other and help each other is that the peace be with you. The peace be with you is not a time that you get to turn around and see who's standing behind you or beside you. It's a time to actually give your peace, the peace that you hold in your heart, to somebody else in that church. And in turn, they give you their peace for you to hold on for the week. So these are examples of why we come together as a community to help each other, to pray for each other. We also go to church to be nourished and to be healed by God. We're healed when we're listening and hearing God's own words, which is the first part of the Mass, the liturgy of the word. We're actually hearing God's words, and we're actually hearing Jesus' words in the Gospels. So that is one way for us to heal ourselves. And we're nourished at church by the Eucharist. We believe that bread and that wine become the body and the blood of Jesus. And so we take that body and we actually put it in our bodies to become one with us. So that way we can go out of the church and become Christ-like to everybody that we may meet in the next week. So those are some of the examples of the reasons why we go to church. But the next question that a lot of people ask is, why can't Mass be more entertaining? We are a world made up with entertainment. We have TVs, we have computers, we have iPhones, iPads, video games. We are constantly in noise all the time. We need to learn how to tune out some of that noise so that we can achieve that quiet and that focus that is required for Mass. We can't, right now during COVID, not everybody is comfortable to go to Mass in person, and we totally understand that. So a lot of our parishioners are watching Mass online. And Don and I started doing that when all the churches were shut down at a period of time during COVID. And we would sit here in our room watching Mass online. And I'll tell you, it was so easy to be distracted here at home. You know, we'd have the windows open, the door open, a car drive by. I would watch the car drive by. People would walk by. I watched the people walk by. I had a lot of distractions. It was really hard to keep focused. And sometimes it's really important to just be at Mass in person, be in the plaza with all of us together to help with each other with that focus. So that is another reason for going to Mass. One of the main reasons is because Jesus is the reason why. If we are seeking Christ, we will find him through the church. And you have to remember that the church was founded by Jesus Christ. He is the one that started it all. Now, we get it. We get that sometimes Mass can be boring, especially if you're just coming and sitting and not participating as much. Mass does get boring. So if you kind of come into that frame of mind about the Mass, I would say get involved and make a difference. Get involved in the Mass itself. Sing. Pay attention to the words, the readings. You can also get involved by becoming a lector or a Eucharistic minister. You can get involved, and many of you guys can get involved right now as being an altar server or part of the ambassador group. You don't have to receive all your sacraments to be part of those two groups. Being part of the ministries that make up the Mass is really fascinating to learn more about the Mass and how the Mass can come alive in everybody's life. So I would say, you know, get involved. If you're a little uncomfortable by thinking that the Mass is kind of intimidating a little bit because you don't know that much about it, then I say get involved in some small prayer groups. And I hate to say it, but you guys are all now involved in a small prayer group called RCIA. So this is already something that you're kind of getting used to in this small prayer group. But also reach out to some of the other parish ministries we have, like the men's ministries and the women's ministries. Bible studies. Right now, the church is going through the Arise program, which are small faith communities, too. All these groups will keep you involved in the church, involved into the Mass, and that you realize that the Mass doesn't have to entertain me. We are there to be part of that Mass. So we have our world. Our world gives us celebrities, and our church gives us the saints. And we've talked a little bit about the saints already. The saints are people that have walked this earth that some of us can really identify with because, you know, some of them have not been the greatest of all saints, and they've had to really turn their life around. So the church gives us our saints to look towards. The world also gives us noise, a lot of noise. The church gives us peace. The world gives us false dreams. The church gives us truth. The world gives us vices. The church calls us to virtue. And the world gives us earthly pleasures. The church offers us eternal life in heaven. So we're going to do some chatting now. And so I want you guys to open up, do they have to go to the chat box or they can just go to their chat box? Just go type in the chat box. I've been doing this this subject for a number of years, and there have been questions that have come up about the Mass. And so I've kind of compiled five of the main questions that the people in the past have asked. And so I wanted to bring it up to you guys and see what you guys know about some of these questions, and then we can chat about it. So if you know, or if you think you have an idea of what some of these questions are about, please go into your chat box. No, let's go start with the chat. Yeah, because I might answer some questions. Okay. So the first question.
I'm not clear what you're asking.
We're going to do the chat, the questions.
So you can type in any question you have, right?
No, oh. I'm going to go over the slide.
That's what wasn't clear. So we're going back to.
Going back to the slide. Okay. So the first question is, wait a minute, when does math begin? Does anybody have any idea of when math begins?
Morning? Like the time or?
When you go to math, it doesn't matter what math you choose. When does math begin? When a math begins?
But just in the interest of time, type your answer in. Let's see how many people have the same answer, how many have different answers. Just go ahead and click on that chat icon and go ahead and type where it says type message here.
Oh, come on.
And if that's difficult, go ahead and just unmute yourself. People are leaving right there.
Very good.
I love this.
I know. Look at this. Very, very good.
Don't know how to do it.
Marlene actually got it. Math actually begins when you prepare yourself to go to math. So that means when you're at home and you're preparing yourself to go. Now, this becomes an interesting subject because if you think about it, how many of us are at home getting ourselves ready and the kids are not getting ready and now you're going to be late and you're yelling at your kids because they're not getting themselves ready to go to church, or your spouse is dragging their feet and they're not getting ready, or you get upset yourself because you're running behind and now you're going to make the whole family run behind getting to church. Your hair's not right or any of that. You have to think that, wait a minute, I'm getting myself ready for math. This isn't a good way to start math, definitely. So something I want you to really think about as you prepare yourself to go to math, either in person or online, but really look at how you are getting yourself ready. Also think about when you're driving to math too. Let's not get upset with other drivers driving to math, but that's at every red light that comes on. Prepare yourself. Definitely prepare yourself, because math begins as you prepare yourself.
And if you really want to be sure that you're well prepared, don't just think about it when you're getting yourself ready for math. Maybe take some time before in the week and open up the readings, or go online and look up the readings and read them ahead of time and pray them, like what we've done before with Scripture. Read through it. See if there's a word that moves your heart. See if there's an image that God places on your mind. Anything that you can do to help prepare yourself to be ready to hear God's word with an open heart and to receive God in the Eucharist when it comes to that point, for those who haven't yet received the Eucharist, to have your heart open to that, that's all part of the mess.
Now, before we go on to next, I have to share a story. One of our parishioners who's very involved in a lot of ministries, we had a meeting a couple months ago that we did in social distancing, and he brought up the fact that we were doing a lot of masses online and that he wasn't preparing himself for mass before he went online to listen to the mass. And one day, he just had his T-shirt and some shorts on, and he was just laying back on the couch watching the mass online. And Father Joe was giving his homily, and Father Joe happened to mention that we should definitely make sure we're prepared for Mass, and that includes watching it online, which means get yourself ready for Mass online. And this man thought, oh my gosh, Father Joe can see me through the computer and see that I'm in my T-shirt and I'm not dressed for church. Now, we're not asking you to dress up if you're watching Mass online, but prepare yourself like you would if you were going to go to Mass, or at least, you know, just kind of be ready to begin Mass at home before you log on to hear the Mass online.
But all of us are different. So whatever it takes to help you prepare your mind and your heart. And for some people, maybe that is dressing up, because just the way they dress and feel dressed up, they know they're doing something important.
All right, next question. Why does the clergy process in? Now, I know some of you have seen this before. If you've gone to church and it's a rainy day and you see the clergy come through the church to go to the vestibule, which you all know where the vestibule is now, right? Because of the church tour last week. Mm-hmm. They go in the vestibule, and then they put those all the way back up where they just began. So why does the church, why bother? So why does the clergy process in? Go ahead and put some of your answers into the chat box.
Okay.
All right. Well, we have one. Let's see. To start Mass. Uh-huh. Yeah. All right. Well, Tori, you really got it there. Yeah, basically, the priest is a person walking this earth, and they are just like you and me, and we come from the world to come into Mass, and so does the priest. The priest is actually coming in from the world to come into the Mass. So that is why they process in. You'll see them process in on a weekday Mass, but they come from the side of the sacristy, and they process in that way. But that's the reason for the procession. So very good, Tori, very good. Next question. Why do we cross ourselves at the gospel? And you might, if you've been at Mass before, you might have seen this where you see, just as the deacon announces the gospel according to Luke, you see all these people start putting crosses on their foreheads and on their lips and on their chest. And why do they do that? Go ahead and chat. Put it in your chat. Wow. Yeah, look at that, Allison. Yeah, very good. You guys come up with some really good ideas. Allison, you just really got it too. Into our minds and our hearts. Very good. Yeah, people will put a cross on their forehead so that they can, Lord, be on my mind, on my lips, and in my heart. And that is basically for us to take out of the church into this crazy world that we live in and remember the gospel, what Jesus has said to us. Keep it in our mind. Make sure we speak it, and we always keep it close to our hearts. All right. Next question. At communion, do we kneel or do we stand? So that's always a big question that people always want to know. What do? Do we kneel or do we stand after we receive communion? And this is pre-COVID. So it's a little different right now when we receive communion. But you have to think about pre-COVID and then after COVID. Kneel, kneel, kneel. Stand, Eric. Yeah, very good. Yeah, this is kind of like a trick question, so I hate doing that, but it's always a question that people ask. It really depends on your archdiocese. It depends on where you live, if you kneel or you stand after communion. In the Los Angeles Archdiocese, which is the diocese that we are part of, about 10 years ago, they decided that we all should stand after communion because we are a community, and we stand for each other as we're all receiving communion. Communion, sorry. But the Archdiocese wasn't going to push everybody and say, you've got to stand, you can't kneel. If you feel comfortable that you want to kneel, you can definitely kneel after receiving communion. The Archdiocese just recommends that after you kneel and you say your prayers or whatever, then you can stand up and be part of that community of a standing. You have to remember, standing is a form of prayer. It comes from our brothers and sisters in the Jewish faith. And you can, pray while you're standing up. When this all first began about 10 years ago, I felt very uncomfortable to stand. I felt like I needed to kneel. So I did kneel. And after a few years went by, I realized, I could actually come back to my pew and stand and say my prayers and be there too. I mean, that was a form of my prayer, was to be able to stand. So it is whatever you're comfortable with. Now, depending if you go to other churches outside of our diocese, you may see things that are a lot different. San Bernardino Diocese, they kneel after communion. They all kneel. If you go visit another church in another state somewhere, I usually will try to sit in the middle of the church, because sometimes you don't know how they do communion. Some churches have communion start at the beginning, at the front of the pews. Others start at the back of the pews and bring it forward. So I sit in the middle just to kind of scope it out to see how it goes. And then I also have an ability to see if they kneel or they stand after they receive communion. So that is, it's kind of a trick question, but in our archdiocese, we stand, but you are able to kneel if you would like. All right, and our last question.
One question. What does everybody think it means if the prayer position during communion is kneeling? What does that mean when you kneel? Because remember what we said in the church tour, everything we do has a purpose. So if we do it without understanding why we do it, then why are we doing it? So what does kneeling mean? Surrender, submission to God, reverence. Good, good. So I think everybody understands that pretty good. But why would we stand as everybody's receiving the Eucharist? What would be the meaning there? I mean, when you think about reverence to God, what would be greater than that? Shouldn't we all kneel? Why would our cardinal archbishop at the time change it and say that in the archdiocese, we're to stand during communion? What's the meaning behind that? Anybody know? Allison, there's a question mark after yours. To be one body in Christ. Yeah, if that's a guess, that's a really good guess. And actually, to take it a little bit further, if we believe that we are all one body in Christ, then none of us has finished receiving the Eucharist until everyone who's able to receive has received. So we all stand at one time because the position for receiving is standing. So we don't kneel until the whole body has received. Then maybe a position of reverence. Okay, great answer. Good guess if it was a guess.
All right, and the last question. Why are weekday masses slightly different than weekend masses? And I don't know if any of you guys have ever been to a weekday mass, but there is a slight difference.
They're shorter. Most often don't have any music. Shorter for a lot of reasons. There's less readings. No music.
Yeah, a mass is the mass, no matter if it's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, or on Sunday. But the weekday masses tend to be a little shorter. And a lot of it, the weekend masses that we go to on Sunday, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Easter and that, but the Sunday masses are basically like a little Easter. Every Sunday we celebrate the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus. So that's why Sunday is always a bigger mass. It has the three readings. It has music. It has everything in it. So that is why the mass on Sunday is bigger. All right, so this is always a big thing that people who especially are not Catholic think about us being Catholic. We do, you know, you Catholics do a lot of kneeling and standing and sitting and standing and kneeling and bowing and over and over and over again. And why do we do all that? Well, like Deacon Don was mentioning, there are reasons why we do specific things at specific times during the Mass. Like we said, standing is a common posture for prayer. We stand when we're greeting the priest, processing in. Just like if somebody would come to your door at your house, you would go and stand and open the door. We sit to listen. We sit to listen to the readings. We sit to listen to the homily. We kneel, like we were saying, that it's a sign of humility, or personal prayer. We kneel when the consecration of the bread and the wine become the body and the blood of Jesus. We bow and we genuflect. Which is a profound reverence. If you notice that in the creed, when we're reading the creed, which is what we believe in God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, in that creed we also say, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. That's when we bow. We make a gesture as a community to bow. A lot of us will bow before we receive communion. We also bow. Profound reverence. Genuflect. We genuflect or we bow before we go into a pew. When we come into church, we go and we leave the church. And especially when we're in front of the tabernacle, we will bow or genuflect. If you're somebody who just can't get down to genuflect, that's okay. Bowing is still a profound reverence. So bowing is still okay. So then we come to the end of the Mass. And as my Father has sent me, so I have sent you. And now you need to go. Jesus actually tells us. He tells his disciples, before he leaves earth, and before he gets ascended up to heaven, he tells his disciples, you have to go. You have to go and spread the word. This is what's said to us at every end of the Mass. The deacon is usually the one that sends us forth. And they usually will say something like, you got to go. They go and proclaim the word. But you basically have to, you have to leave the church. I've said this before. Being in between the walls of the church or even in the grotto area, or the plaza area that we're having outdoor Mass at right now, for me, I feel safe there. I feel like I'm with my brothers and sisters of faith. We all struggle in our own things, but we're here to help each other, and we get to listen to Jesus, and we get to receive Jesus. Sometimes you feel like you don't want to leave because you know what the world is going to bring to you. You know how scary and how hard the world is. But we have to go. We have to be Christ-like to this world, the craziness of this world. So we do have to leave Mass and go. Mm-hmm. All right. Wait a minute. And this is one of my favorite sayings that I have found. We enter the church as many souls, fractured, tired, broken, and hungry. But we exit as one body in Christ, rejuvenated, healed, and fulfilled. That's why we go to Mass. We go to Mass to become one body with Christ, to be rejuvenated, to be healed, and to be fulfilled so that we can walk this earth and be like Christ. That's why we go to Mass. Does anybody have any questions so far? You can unmute yourself and ask any questions.
Are we going to go over of why we like stand in certain, when they say certain prayers and ask them? They're always like, why don't we stand for that? Well, why do we have to kneel for that?
We're going to watch a video when we come back from break. We're going to watch a video that's going to go into a great detail of the parts of the Mass and why we're doing certain things, why we're standing or kneeling. And then next week when we come together for the Mass of Understanding, we'll be going over that as well. So you're going to get an opportunity twice to kind of see how this whole Mass goes.
Erica typed in the chat, did we already talk about what the word Mass means? I think it's in the video, but I'm not sure. So Mass comes from taking one of the words that was part of the dismissal at the end of Mass when Mass was said in Latin, ita missa est, which means the Mass is ended. And then the deacon would say, go in peace or whatever else. But ita missa est. So missa, go forth, move, get out, go do something like Diana said. That's where it came from. Has Mass always been celebrated every day of the week?
It has, except for two days? One day official, yeah. Except for one day, and we're going to get into more detail of that, but that day is Good Friday. We don't have, in the whole world, every Catholic church, there is no Mass being said on Good Friday. And when we get there, you'll understand why, but it's the day that Jesus dies. And so we don't celebrate Mass at that day. That's the only day. Let's see, why do some churches offer wine and bread with communion and others don't?
Well, first of all, we've got to use the right terminology, okay? So in the Catholic Church, if you're talking about Catholic churches, by the time you receive it, it's no longer wine or bread. We call it the Eucharist, which in Greek means Thanksgiving. We're thankful for the gift. Or we call it the host, the bread that's been transformed into the body of Jesus, the body and blood of Jesus, or you receive from the cup the precious blood, okay? So that again, we're going to talk about the Eucharist, and we'll go into more in-depth, but if you just receive one, they're called two different species, is what the church calls it. If you receive one species, you're receiving both the body and blood of Christ. Okay? You can't separate it. But the church allows us to receive both to participate in the fullness of the sign, body and blood. But of course, no one except the ministers at the altar, since the COVID shutdown, is receiving from the cup for health safety reasons. But you need to know that when you're receiving that host, it's the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. The whole deal. You can't separate it. Okay? Now, if you go to other Christian churches, most Protestant churches do not believe in the real presence. They don't believe that bread and wine gets changed into the actual and real body and blood of Christ. What they believe is we are reenacting in a reverent way the Last Supper. So for them, it truly is bread and wine.
Yeah. All right. Alexa has, what is the difference between the first reading, the second reading, and the... certainly. Yeah, this will be talked about in the video. But just basic, first reading is always coming from the Old Testament. Usually, except for during Easter. second reading is always from the New. No, second reading always comes from the New Testament or the Acts of the Apostles.
Second reading is always the New Testament.
And then the Gospels are the four Gospels: Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. Mostly Mark, Matthew, Luke, and then John pops up during Easter time and after Easter during the Easter seasons and different times of the year. All right, so we're going to take like a 5-minute break. Let you guys stretch your legs and something to drink. And then we've got a fantastic video that will go over every little detail of the Mass and hopefully really get you inspired for next week, where we personally, either by in person or by Zoom, will go through the whole Mass itself. So go ahead and take a 5-minute break, and then we'll come back.
If you would unmute your audio and your video so we know you're back. We just have a couple of short things for business, and then we'll go right into the video that Dana has promised you. Wait for a few more people to get back. Go ahead and activate both your audio and your video.
I'm here. I'm just sitting in the dark because it's hot.
I got a fan.
I've been sitting in the dark since 1967.
I'm sorry, what?
Step into the light.
Oh, I am in the light, but I'm just enjoying some cool air.
Brian, could I ask everybody to go ahead and mute the audio now that I see that you're on video? David, you're back. See your smiling faces. Or maybe they're still on break. Okay, here we go. Real quick, you should have received an email from me. I don't remember if I sent you a corresponding text or not, so probably not. I thought we would just talk about it tonight. We have talked about this Bible a couple of times, the New Catholic Answer Bible. You all should have received a free Bible as a gift from the parish. If you still haven't received your free gift, make sure you let me know at the end of tonight, and we'll arrange for you to, we'll figure out how for you to pick that up. I'll explain how you can do that. But we did talk about this Bible. This is a more substantial Bible in the sense that if you like this camp answer, question answer approach that you have enjoyed during RCIA, then in a written and a pictorial form, interspersed throughout the Bible are a number of deeper questions that are answered or information given. So a lot of people in RCIA like to have that depth as well. This is more costly, and if we order them in bulk with the shipping, we can get it down to $30 a Bible for people. So if you are interested, and I think 4 or 5 of you have confirmed that you are, make sure you let me know by this time tomorrow, because we're going to go ahead and place an order on Thursday. So you can either let me know at the end of tonight by just unmuting yourself, or you can send me a text to my cell phone or an email to my email address. If anybody has any more questions about it, we can talk about it more after we finish too. All right. And what I wanted to show here too is some changes in the calendar. The biggest change, not biggest change, but on October 20th, which is next week, for those who feel comfortable, safe, health-wise, safety-wise, we are doing the Mass of Understanding. And so that is going to happen in the church. And like when we did the tour, if you feel safe with mask and social distance, you're invited to come to the church. Anyone who's not able or doesn't feel completely safe, we will do a Zoom with the iPad and a stand just like we did last time. I probably am going to ask for an RSVP again, just to have an idea how many are in the church. That'll help us for planning purposes. Tentatively, November 17th, we were also going to gather, so we can gather at least once a month. We're trying to work out the details as far as how we're going to be able to do that tech-wise. So stay tuned for that. December 5th is our planned morning of reflection. That too, we are hoping to be able to do in person for those who can, and we'll continue to do the hybrid for those who can't. But we definitely wanted to still do that with as many people in person as possible. And we're planning the details for that as well. And then we have thought about still doing a dinner on our last meeting before going to the Christmas break. We'll have 2 weeks off. In the past, we did a potluck, and that's probably not going to fly with protocols, social health protocols. We thought about having some prepackaged meals. That's still on the table. We're considering that. We just have to figure out, again, where that would work for what we want to do. So we're kind of touch and go here at this point in time, but definitely the 20th in the church next week. And then finally, you'll notice on your calendar a number of dismissals, and we'll explain some more about that. But in essence, we'll come to the 11 o'clock Mass, and for those who are catechumens and any candidates who are interested as well, will be dismissed after the priest or deacon gives a homily for a deeper opening of the word. Originally, the first schedule had November 1st as the first dismissal. That's now been changed. So our first dismissal is going to be November 8th, and then it'll be the rest of the dates that were on the original calendar, so the 5 dates that we see there. Okay. Any questions, anybody, before we go on to our video? All right, then. Here we go. Let's load that video. This will take about 30 minutes, right? 25 minutes? 30, oh, maybe 40 minutes. Okay. And it's very comprehensive. So all those detailed questions that you had that we said, oh, it's in the video, it'll be explained very well and concisely. It's very well done. Okay, enjoy.
Mass normally begins with a procession. The priest and the other ministers, readers, and altar servers slowly walk toward the table of the
family, which is also the altar of sacrifice. The procession can be simple, more elaborate. The entrance antiphon is said or sung, or we, the congregation, sing a hymn to express a unity of heart. On Sundays, an image of Christ crucified and the book of the Gospels are carried in the procession. The Gospels contain Christ's presence in his word. They teach us how to live like Christ. There will be a crucifix on or near the altar. On the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." He consummated his sacrifice. He gained for us the strength to live like he did, in selfless dedication to God and to others. The beginning of Mass shows us how we must begin and live all that we do, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In Mass, we participate with heaven, where angels fall down in worship before God. The priest approaches the altar and venerates it with a bow. He, together with the deacon, if there is one, also kisses the altar. This is a very ancient practice. It shows adoration to Christ, whom St. Ambrose says the altar symbolizes. Christ means the Anointed One. Now we, along with the priest, must prepare the altar of our souls so that Christ may come to dwell in us. The greeting begins with the sign of the cross, and the priest invites us to reflect on God's presence, saying, "The Lord be with you." As members of the church, we are members of Christ's body. He is our head. St. Augustine called Christ and the church together the whole Christ. We live this unity, this deep mystery of the church at Mass, from the very moment of the greeting. What joy and awe to consider that the Lord is truly with us and is coming to be our true friend and our Redeemer.
Those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. The words of Christ give us great peace and comfort. The name Jesus means God saves. He came to call a fallen world back to God. The priest leads us in orienting ourselves more closely to God so we can worthily participate in the rest of the Mass. We want to be in the proper state of mind and soul to participate in the sacrifice and to receive Christ in Holy Communion. We express our penitence together, I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters. We apologize to God together, and we apologize to each other for sometimes not giving the best example. We promise to pray for each other, because we should always have our hearts open to support each other. We also ask our brothers and sisters, the saints in heaven, to pray for us. The angels are guiding us. Mary, the Mother of Christ, our Mother in heaven, is interceding for us so that we can become what God wants us to be. We are never closer to heaven on earth than when we are at Mass. The saints are the church in heaven, men and women like us, who in Christ have achieved the victory of love.
Asking for forgiveness is asking for mercy. At this point in the Mass, we ask God's mercy three times, echoing the priest. Asking three times shows sorrow for our sins and symbolizes that we are praying to God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As children often do, we too ask repeatedly for what we desire most, God's mercy and love. Many of the first Christian liturgies were in Greek. Even though Latin became the language of the Roman Catholic Mass before the year 500, the Lord have mercy is still said in Greek. Kyrie, Lord, eleison, have mercy, take pity. This same prayer has been said by Christians for over 1500 years. In a mysterious act of love, God forgives us and asks His Son to pay our debt. Jesus does so by dying on the cross. What joy we feel that our debt has been paid. God sent His Son for us, and so we ask for mercy humbly but confidently, for God's love is infinitely greater than our failings.
At this point, we announce the hymn the angel sang at Christ's birth, Glory to God in the highest, and peace to His people on earth. Every Mass renews Christmas, because it celebrates Christ's coming to us. The Gloria was composed in the 2nd century. It is a hymn of praise begun by the priest, then sung or recited by the choir together with the people. This shows externally what our hearts experience. We wish to glorify God because of what He has done for us. We sing with joy as the angel said to the shepherds, a great joy that will be for all the people. We are humbled by the greatness of God, and in the middle of the glory to God, we once again acknowledge that Jesus is the source of all mercy. The end of the Gloria shows the reason for our joy and our confidence. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ. What joy to know that our Redeemer lives.
Come to Mass to pray together as members of Christ's body, the Church. The priest solemnly invites us to pray the opening prayer so that we can all unite our hearts. In the early days of the Church, Christians would assemble in one place and then walk together to a church for Mass. The Latin phrase, plebs collecta, the people assembled, give the collect, the opening prayer, its name. The collect voices all our hopes and prayers for the Mass. It is one of the parts of Mass that changes. Every Mass has a different opening prayer. Think of all the Catholics throughout the world saying that same prayer in all the Masses today. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all mentioned in a formal ending of this prayer. By sharing His life with us, God has allowed us to be collected, gathered as a true universal family. Thank you.
The Mass is a privileged moment to encounter Jesus Christ. During the readings, we listen to God's Word speaking directly to us. The psalm response is normally chosen to follow the theme of the readings and causes our souls to dwell on it in meditation. The Mass renews the Last Supper, but it is also the continuation of the traditions of God's people. Jesus himself, when he visited the synagogue of Nazareth, read out loud from the prophet Isaiah. God truly speaks to us, but he speaks to us through intermediaries, through those he inspired to write his words, and at Mass, through those who minister to us by reading. The Psalms, like Christ, are divine in origin, but also profoundly human. Singing them together helps his word to always be on our lips. All Catholics in the world are hearing these readings today. The story of our salvation through God's love brings us closer to Christ and to each other.
We have previously heard what God inspired men to write. Now we listen to God's own Son, teaching us directly by his words and by his life. We prepare for this by the gospel acclamation, a verse preceded, except in Lent, by the Hebrew word, Alleluia, meaning praise God. We even make three small signs of the cross on our head, lips, and heart, to symbolize that we want to understand God's truth, share it with others, and love it in our hearts. We stand reverently to hear the gospel as Rome's first Christians did in the catacombs. The passage from the gospel is the centerpiece of this part of the Mass. The other readings and prayers are chosen to reflect and to shed light upon it. The very same graces are available to us as were to those who saw Jesus in the flesh and heard the Sermon on the Mount. We are hearing the very word which created us, the truth which will set us free.
Because God loved us, he inspired men to write his words in Scripture. With this same spirit, he inspires men who know us to preach his word and to apply it to our daily lives. Homily comes from a Greek word meaning conversation. Christ himself chose to spread his kingdom through preaching. St. Paul teaches us that if people are to believe, they must hear the faith preached. God knows our needs so well that he wants us to have some words from a father figure within our community who knows our lives and our struggles, so that we might understand and live the gospel more deeply.
Our faith is not a set of ideas. It is belief and trust in a person, Jesus Christ. The priest now leads us, as an assembly, to stand and profess our faith in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The profession of faith summarizes the pillars of our faith. Called the Creed, from the Latin word credo, I believe, it is a statement of belief that all baptized Catholics profess. As we pray the Creed, we can reflect and thank the many men and women who struggled and suffered to hand down the faith to us. From the apostles to our own parents and friends.
Some have wondered why we ask God for anything. Isn't he all-knowing? Jesus himself answered that question. He told us that we must ask, knock, and seek. He knew, for example, that wine was lacking at the wedding at Cana, but he still waited for someone to notice and to ask him before he worked the miracle. In this case, it was Our Lady herself who interceded for the newlyweds. At the prayer of the faithful, we follow her example and intercede for each other. Conversion means turning to God, and that is exactly what we do in the prayer of the faithful. Lord, hear our prayer is the trusting petition of God's children who know how much He loves us and cares for our every need. The fathers of the church describe Christ's incarnation with the phrase admirable exchange that still forms part of the Christmas Mass prayers. Admirable exchange is what the offertory is all about. Now, some of the faithful, representing us all, bring the gifts of bread and wine to the altar. The priest and altar servers prepare the altar. We present our gifts to God at this point as we praise Him in song. The money we give shows that our daily work forms part of the Mass. What we offer, then, is not merely something external. Our whole lives are an offering to God. Like the bread and wine, our lives are the result of God's gift and our own work, fruit of the vine and work of human hands. We give these to God now, so that He can transform them into Christ Himself, so that the Eucharist can nourish us to live Christ's life in our world. We give what is human and receive what is divine. An admirable exchange, indeed.
As the gifts are prepared, we are invited to deepen our prayer. The priest says, "Pray that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God." We pray together that God receive our gifts, which we have offered with sincerity of heart. For the second time at Mass, the priest leads us in prayer. This short prayer over the gifts is another prayer like the opening prayer, which changes each Sunday. When we sing or say Amen to this prayer, we are declaring that we are accepting Christ's invitation to His banquet, an invitation to accompany Him to the foot of the cross, His supreme sacrifice of love. The Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life. The beginning of the Eucharistic prayer, called the preface, centers our attention on what we are about to do. The priest once again makes us aware of God's presence among us, saying, "The Lord be with you." With arms outstretched, he exhorts us to lift up your hearts, and then says, "Let us give thanks to the Lord our God." Together with the priest, we thank God for his work of salvation. The preface ends with yet another reminder that our Mass participates in the eternal celebration of heaven. At the priest's invitation, we all unite in the hymn of the angels. The priest, choir, and congregation sing out, "Sanctus, Sanctus, Sanctus." Holy, holy, holy. The words are from Isaiah's vision of God on the throne of his temple. This hymn is among the most ancient in the Mass. We call God Dominus Sabaoth, or Lord of hosts, and we use the Hebrew acclamation of praise, Hosanna. We prayed in the Creed that God is the creator of all that is seen and unseen. We echo that again in praise, for heaven, creation unseen, and the visible realm of earth are full of His glory. As we sing the Sanctus, we acclaim God as three times holy, far beyond us.
But in Christ, He gives Himself to us. And we now relive that offering of Christ upon the altar of the cross. After praising God's power, we now call upon it,
Christ is about to become present upon the altar. In Nazareth, Our Lady was told that God's Son would become present in her, His divinity hidden under the form of an unborn child. All of the Eucharistic prayers call upon God's power before the consecration. It is at this moment that the priest extends his hands over the offerings. The technical term for this moment of the Eucharistic prayer is the epiclesis, a Greek word meaning invocation. We invoke God's power for the offerings to be consecrated and transformed into Christ's body and blood. And we invoke His power that we who will receive Him in communion may likewise be transformed by the bread of life. God's fiat, let there be, created the universe. Mary's fiat, let it be done unto me, allowed Christ to come into the world. As we invoke the Holy Spirit, let us prepare to embrace the miracle of Christ's presence and say yes with our whole lives. Jesus Christ came into this world to bring all mankind back to the Father. At Mass, the culminating moment comes now, when the priest repeats Jesus' very words and gestures at the Last Supper. The priest acts in persona Christi, in the person of Christ. This part of the Eucharistic prayer is called the institution narrative, because it recalls when and how Christ instituted the Eucharist, and with it His holy priesthood. His actions are direct, His words simple and straightforward.
Before He was given up to death, a death He freely accepted, He took bread and gave His thanks. He broke the bread, gave it to His disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is My body, which will be given up for you."
The bread and wine are consecrated separately, because that is what Jesus did at the Last Supper.
When supper was ended, He took the cup. Again, He gave you thanks and praise, gave the cup to His disciples, and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is the cup of My blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all, so that sins may be forgiven. Do this in memory of Me."
The Church teaches that He is fully present in both the host and the chalice. The resurrected Jesus cannot be divided. As the priest genuflects in profound adoration, our souls also bow down before the majesty of Christ, now present on the altar. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus gives Himself totally for us. His hands outstretched and nailed to the cross are extended to us in history's greatest act of love and friendship. What was bread and wine is now the real presence of Jesus. A miracle has happened.
Let us proclaim the mystery of faith.
The mystery of faith that we proclaim is not the words we say, it is the Eucharist. We make an act of faith together, proclaiming that the Eucharist before us is Christ, who died, is risen, and who will come again. The next section of the Eucharistic prayer is called the anamnesis, another Greek word meaning remembrance. The Eucharist is the source and summit of the Christian life and of each Christian's life. We pray that our lives be brought to completion through Christ in unity with God and with each other, so that, as St. Paul prayed, God may be all in all. These last words of the Eucharistic prayer are extremely beautiful. After embracing the whole world and the Church in these intercessions, the focus is once again brought back to the altar, where Christ is present, through whom all good things come.
At this point, the priest holds Christ aloft once again, raising the host and the chalice slightly, in an act which dates back to the early church, called the Little Elevation, to distinguish it from the greater elevations at the consecration. The bread and wine, changed now into Christ's own body and blood, are not presented to the people, as at the consecration, but to God himself. We pray to God directly that all glory be given to him through Christ.
Through him, with him, in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours, Almighty Father, forever and ever.
The Amen that closes the Eucharistic prayer is called the Great Amen. We say yes to all the Eucharistic prayer has expressed. We offer it to God to thank him for his faithfulness and to live our lives for his glory.
God came in the flesh to teach us how to live. When asked by his disciples, "Teach us to pray," he taught them the Our Father. The priest introduces the Our Father with great humility.
Let us pray with confidence to the Father in the words our Savior gave us.
The Our Father is a moment for us to reflect on what should really form the basis of our community. The dedication to living as children of God, forgiving others as we have been forgiven, and working together to do God's will.
In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus told us what we need to do to be happy, or in his words, blessed. The seventh of these Beatitudes is, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." Being a Christian means being a person committed to bringing about peace. The exchange of a sign of peace was reintroduced into the Mass after Vatican II. We ask in the Lord's Prayer that God's will be done on earth as in heaven. And now we re-echo that when we pray that he grant us the peace and unity of his kingdom.
Our experience at Mass parallels that of the two disciples who were walking back to the town of Emmaus. They did not recognize Jesus. He explained the scriptures to them, and they asked him to stay with them, and they finally recognized him in the breaking of the bread.
This is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Happy are those who are called to his supper.
The breaking of the bread was in fact the first name the early Christians used for the supper which is now our Mass. To break bread is to share one's life, one's food, one's family. We see each other as members of one family at one table.
Holy Communion is a sharing in the very same meal that Jesus shared with his disciples. But communion means much more than receiving. It means uniting. We receive Christ in his body and blood, soul and divinity. He becomes the food of our souls, the life of our life. Words fall short for the depth of this mystery. This union is the closest and most intense we can have with God on earth. After some time of silence, the priest, in the prayer after communion, asks God that the mysteries just celebrated may bear fruit of love and holiness.
Once the prayer after communion is said, the Mass enters its last brief section called the concluding rites. The priest extends his hands, embracing his family as our father in the faith, and gives us his blessing, which, on certain solemnities, includes a longer blessing, reminding us of the lessons of the feast. The deacon or priest then says, "The Mass is ended. Go in peace." This phrase, "Ite, Missa est," is what gives the Mass, the Missa, its name. It means a dismissal, but also a mission, a sending, a commissioning. Just as Christ said to his apostles the night of his resurrection, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." Each and every Mass, as we have seen, is an experience of Christmas, of Christ coming into the world. It is a reliving of Good Friday, Christ dying on the cross for us. It is an experience of resurrection, as Christ's risen body and blood become our food. But Mass must also be for us a new Pentecost, when we are clothed with power from on high, and are blessed with the fire of love, which we are to carry to our homes, schools, places of business, even to the ends of the earth. Every Mass is a limitless source of holiness and grace. If we live Mass well and build our lives around the lessons learned in what has been called the School of the Eucharist, grace will transform our lives and through us will transform the world.
As we said, that was very comprehensive, but there was a lot packed in the 40 minutes as well. Just an opportunity for anyone who would like to ask a question. There was a lot that went on. Something might have stuck out for you that you'd appreciate having an answer for tonight. Please know, though, that the question about positions of prayer, postures of prayer, standing, kneeling, sitting, we'll talk more about that when we do the Mass of Understanding next week. Diana thought that it was in the video, and you'll notice that it wasn't. But, questions, anybody?
Yeah, how do we get a copy of that video to re-review it? Is it going to be on
I'd have to remember what website we ordered it from and give you the link, but we could look at that.
You have a link on the website, don't you?
Yeah, if you got the link or...
Are you about wanting to purchase a copy, James?
No, well, I just want to review it again. Okay. Very informative.
All right, so we're recording this session. So what I'll do is I'll send out the link to everyone in case anybody wants to go over it again, not just the people that missed tonight.
Yeah, that was really informative. Yeah. I like that. Good deal.
Okay, so I'll send it out to everybody. If anybody wants to click on the link, it'll be up until 4 p.m. next Tuesday when it automatically gets deleted. Any other questions or comments, anyone?
I think it was very well done, and I would like to order one of the Bibles.
Okay. Well, Dina, you're set.
All right. Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wanted to order a Bible?
I'd like to order a Bible.
Martha, you'd already sent me an email. You're set. So, Bodina, and who else?
Alexa.
Okay.
And then James.
Did I miss anybody?
Yeah, Fabio for one.
So here's the four tonight that have let me know. Marlene, Cohen, James, Lodinia, Alexa, anyone else?
Oh, we're doing two.
Okay, Elvia, Tori,
Jenica.
Jenica.
Hannah.
Hannah,
gotcha. By the way, Hannah is new tonight, so where are you, Hannah?
I'm
new. Right, okay. Welcome.
Thank you.
Right. We'll catch up right after this, like we talked about, okay?
Sounds good.
More hands, Shay. And Allison. Did I catch all those? Was that Brian?
Yeah.
Okay, since that's a bunch of orders, I'm going to read one more time, and then if I missed anyone, unmute yourself. Marlene, James, Modenia, Alexa, Elvia, Tori, Jenica, Hannah, Shay, Allison, and Brian Bray. Okay, fantastic. All right, well, that was a lot to absorb tonight. So I think James has the right idea. If you want to just look over that video, it'll be obviously the last half of what we did, and you'll get a chance to do that throughout the week. All right.
And if you think of questions, jot them down and give it to us when we meet again on Tuesday, either Zoom or in person.
Right. Okay. With that being said, let's say a brief prayer and a blessing to send us on our way, okay? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Father, we pray this week that we will allow you to touch our lives even more deeply with your grace. May we carve out more time and attention for your word to affect our minds, our hearts, and our lives, so that we can be more aware of all of your grace in and around us as we continue to prepare to have a more intimate experience of your grace through sacraments. We pray in the name of Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, amen. May the Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm. Go in peace and have a great week. And hopefully we'll see most of you Tuesday.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you, everyone.
How do we pay you?
When the Bible's coming, we'll collect.
Thank you.
Okay, Modine.
Bye-bye. God bless. Bye.
Tinkerbell, I see your little face.
All right, Hannah, welcome. Hannah, we have yet to connect on the phone yet. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. You were getting my messages, though, I hope?
Yes, I've got emails and texts.
Okay. So. Well, I almost took you off the list this week and didn't send you, and something told me, no, send her the invitation. Let's see. So I'm glad you did.
I've been computer challenged since last week. So, my computer died on me. I had to send it off. And so I was just trying to deal with that, I guess.
I'm glad I listened to that prompting of the spirit then, huh?
Good.
All right. Would you like to have a conversation by phone or by Zoom, one-to-one? Because, I mean, obviously, it's not just the two of us here. We've got nine people on the screen. Just to answer questions you might still have and maybe questions I might have for you.
Yeah, I'm just during the day, work is insane, so I can't really talk during the day.
Yeah.
And then after work, family life is insane, so it's often a challenge to find a time that works.
But you carve the time out here. That's great.
Yeah.
I don't mind having a phone conversation with you in the evening time if that works for you.
Okay. And
what I can do is I'll just text you from my cell phone, so you have my cell phone number.
Okay.
One night this week when it works out, just give me a call, and hopefully I'll be available, and I'll pick up, and we don't have to play phone tag, okay?
Okay, that sounds good. I think maybe Thursday might work this.
Okay, Thursday I've got a couple of Zoom meetings. I know from 7 to 8 I won't be available, but outside of that, maybe after, if it's not too late, maybe after 8 o'clock.
Okay, I think I could make that happen.
Okay, great. I just want to welcome you, and like I said, answer questions. Yeah, you got a good feel for what we do on Tuesday nights tonight. But from your registration, I have a couple of follow-up questions for you, too, that will help us best provide for you what your needs are and make you feel comfortable.
Okay.
Okay?
Sounds good.
Thanks a lot. I'm glad you joined us.
Yes, thank you.
All All right. Have a good evening.
You too. Have a good one.
Thanks.
Bye.
Okay.
Hey, Allison.
Hi, sorry. Can I just ask you a quick question?
You always have extra questions, so. To the teacher,
this question isn't going to help that statement anymore, but I was wondering if you had, like a reading list or, like, a list of, like, resources, maybe, like, podcasts or things.
No, we actually have a library. So if this weren't a COVID year and we were meeting in person, you would notice that Diana puts up on a large table this compendium of different books that you can read. So I guess what I would say is, hey, Diana, do you actually have a written, typed-up list of all those titles? No? What? Okay. Yeah, so probably the best approach would be if there's a particular subject that you'd like some more information about, we'll put together something for you.
Okay. I don't have one in mind, but maybe I can think of one and send you an email later this week. Would that be okay?
Yep, or we could actually just pray and ask the Holy Spirit to guide us, and we'll grab something for you and suggest it to you.
That would be great. That'd be great.
Okay. Is there something specific you're looking for?
Eric, I have that book, actually.
Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yep. I'm not very far in it. But I attempt.
That's a great book. And he's not a Catholic minister, but he'd be the first to tell you that he's way more Catholic than most people would want him to admit.
I like this book a lot. It's more practical.
It is.
But I also am interested in, like, more, maybe more like a, not too dense, but a little bit more like a philosophical understandings, maybe of, like, the Trinity or the understanding of how Jesus' death, like, is our salvation.
I've got a good idea of a book for you. So let me, it's basically a not too difficult summary of a lot of the catechism, but written in a way that's really understandable. So the catechism is the official teaching of the church. So let me pull that book. I think that might just be right up your alley.
Okay. Yeah. Not too dense, but
right.
Just a little.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Let me write that note down. Okay.
On a side note, I got the Bishop Barron Word on Fire Bible. Have you seen that?
I have. Well, I don't have a copy, but I've looked at the.
It's pretty cool. It's oriented towards new people to the faith. It's got some amazing artwork in there and commentary for various passages. It's great.
Okay, Word on Fire is what you called it. Word on Fire Bible.
Yeah, but it might overlap with what Deacon Don was buying already. I don't know.
I haven't looked at it as closely as Eric has, but it's going to be similar to the Bible you expressed interest in, the RCIA Bible. So it's infused with a lot of good information. And for Bishop Barron, it's going to be really good theology, too. There's a couple of books of Bishop Barron that I would recommend, too, because he takes really dense theological concepts and he makes them very easy for just common everyday person like you and I to understand.
Okay. I like reading stuff like that. Any recommendations, that'd be great.
There's a couple of books in here I'm thinking of. So, all right. Okay. I'm going to start loading you down. Stop.
Yeah, I came up with the reading list. Okay, thank you so much. I'll see you next Tuesday.
All right, great. Have a great week.
You too.
James, any questions?
Kimber, now that you've been in the light.
Now that I've been in the light, what?
You have any questions for Deacon Don?
Do I have any questions?
Yeah.
No, not tonight. I do have one small statement. I cannot make next week's gathering. I have a postponed in-service that's happening next Tuesday because nobody wanted to meet the night of the vice presidential debate. So, whatever. So
it probably works out for the RCIA team because, as you know, the massive understanding, there's open questions, but we don't necessarily need people to lead groups. So
Right. So it's a good time as any to just pretend to tune in for a couple hours. So, okay, guys, God bless you all, and I will see you next week. And if you guys could remind these people to research their saints and, you know, anything of interest that they want to know more about, hit me up and I'll get all over it. There's nothing to do right now. So, okay. Good night, all.
Don, I'll be there next Tuesday.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I should be there as well. Is it an actual mass?
Yeah. I'm gonna say no. We've done it where it's an actual mass before, but the last 2 years, Father has not. And the thinking there is the fact that so many people that would attend would not be able to receive the Eucharist.
Oh, that's a good point. Yep.
So.
Am I hitching a ride with you, Mike?
Yeah.
I'll be there, Don.
Okay, great. Rochelle, Patty, you going to make it? Cool.
Planning to.
Okay, great.
All
right, everybody. Thanks once again. Have a great evening.
All right. Good night. Thank you. I'll look at that video when it comes on.
All right. I'll send it out tomorrow.
All right. Thank you. God bless.